This week on RSVMD Update, Master Clue Scrolls are here with a whole host of improvements. We really enjoy this update, and you should too. We go through the RuneScape 2018 survey, providing commentary along the way, and we provide a recap of Double XP Weekend. This is RSVMD Update, episode 660, recorded Wednesday, February 28th, 2018, surveying Clue Scrolls. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once more for RSVNB Update. Tanis and myself are back this week. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Alex43 from RSVNB Informer is also here. Welcome back, Alex.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good. And this week on RuneScape was, of course, the Treasure Trail update or the Clue Scroll update, the Clue Scroll overhaul, and that's why we're all here. We're here to discuss that. But also with Double XP Weekend, Jagex gave us a huge surprise, and that was the release of the 2018 survey. So we're also going to discuss that too. And you know how we all love survey time because there's just so many things that that can come with that. So
boom! Right. How about that?
Yeah. And of course, we're all here because you know Double XP Weekend happened, and we all enjoyed that. But more on that later. So
we survived.
Yes, we did, and it was really interesting. We'll talk a bit about what we did, I think, won't we? Because we had a good little session, and you know, in hindsight, we probably should have planned that better. Maybe we should have done something that could have helped your live stream to break it up a bit, and maybe even do something with the podcast on there. But
live and learn, and it was all fun anyway.
But yeah, because the survey came out on Friday when it started, so I was like, oh yeah. Tanis, we could have discussed this on the stream.
Yeah, and by the time we had actually met up, it was, you know, I had been live for like 16 hours. Yeah. I was dying. Or 18, I don't know, it was really late. So,
but all that pressure was let down and let out with the Clue Scroll overhaul that we got this week. And, you know, of course, this brings in the new Master Clue Scrolls that everyone's been looking for. Also, hidey holes and a selection of new rewards. Everyone who is Premier Club does get their free Master Clue Scroll by talking to the Guardian of the Vault. Just right-click claiming on him, and you can do this Clue Scroll. Interesting new puzzles in there. I think that's a good spot to start, the Master Clue Scrolls with this. And, you know... the puzzles. I quite enjoy the new puzzles. We have a game of skyscrapers or towers, as Jagex is calling it, and a lockbox. So you can stumble on these, you know, just as you do when you're doing the clues and whatnot. What did you guys make of the puzzles, Tanis?
I think they were great at first for people. It didn't take very long for a lot of people to crack. I think what was nice about it, though, is it really did seem to bring a community kind of feel together for, you know, that day of release. So that was good. There seemed to be a real hunger for new content, like in that, you know, in that realm with the new puzzles and stuff. So I think it was good. They were challenging, but not impossible is what I have been hearing, kind of word on the street type of thing.
Yeah. And you know, Skyscrapers is a very interesting game. And, you know, I think the reason they did that is because it is not something that you can brute force, because the way Jagex has set up their skyscraper puzzle in the Clue Scrolls is that it is a 5x5 grid. And to begin solving this, you basically, if you were to think of a way of doing this, you would need to put some kind of limitation on it so that the scope of the problem isn't too large. I'm speaking here for someone who might want to brute force this and someone who might want to, you know, write a tool to do it. And, you know, it's not something that can be brute forced. You have to think about it, or you have to use a tool. And the reason that is because if with a 5x5 grid, you have five rows, and each of these five rows has five columns. So that basically gives you 120 different permutations of the numbers 1 through 5 that can be existing in one row. Then, of course, you got, of those 120 combinations, you have to make sure that they satisfy both the horizontal vision requirements and the vertical vision requirements as well. So it's really a game of limiting the amount of searching that needs to be done if you wanted to solve this brute force. And quite frankly, that is not something that a human brain can do. So you need to solve these methodically, and you can't just, you know, mess around and brute force them as you can with the Celtic knots. So to me, that makes the tower puzzles really great. Alex, what do you think of those?
Well, like you were saying, I do like it. I do like them coming out with a whole new content, because puzzle boxes are starting to get a little bit boring because I've kind of already knew how to solve them. And I just do it at rapid speeds now. But now that we have all these new puzzles, it kind of brings back the challenge, and I get to learn how to do these whole new puzzles. So eventually I'll be able to do those fast as well. Because RuneScape's not the only place you see these puzzles. You see them every so often everywhere. Yeah. Like if you do escape rooms or whichever, they sometimes appear. Mm-hmm. So just being able to do them, like even being able to do the Rubik's Cube or something like that, if RuneScape provides us a way to practice those puzzles and get really good at them, then you can apply them in real life as well.
And the other one is the lockbox, and basically what this is you have a set number of tiles in this box, and you click on a tile, and it changes the selection of the adjacent ones around it. And the reality with these is I feel like I learned how to do these on some version of Mario Party back in the day, because what you do is you would jump on a certain square and it would change the rest of them, except here you click. And basically what you want to do with the RuneScape themed one is you want to start at the top and work your way down until you have only one row that is different than the rest. And then from there you can tweak that based on, you know, whichever one will allow you to change that row to a viable solution. So I don't know about you guys. I found the lockbox ones really easy to do.
Well, they're essentially the Dungeoneering puzzles where you flip the tiles.
Because the Dungeoneering ones, they have two sets where each tile can be, but these puzzle boxes have three. And so it becomes basically which symbol are you going to be going for, and can you do that? And so if you try to maintain one symbol, try to get the whole way, then you're not going to do very well. You have to kind of let yourself change the symbols as you go through it, and I just had a whole another aspect of the puzzle altogether.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool.
Yeah, and, you know, people are looking for ways to solve these and whatnot, and there are solvers on the internet. You can do that. But there
was cheating.
Well, I mean, you can – I'm not going to tell people what's cheating and not what's not. But if you go to the RSBNB Twitter account at RSBNB Touchpad Pro, RSBNB community member actually made a video – on how to solve these puzzles without brute forcing them, specifically the tower puzzles as well. So you can give that a watch, and it's linked on our Twitter account at RSBNB. So
sweet,
yeah, and it actually makes sense. And I mean, you start off by basically looking to determine where you can plop the fives in on the map, and then if you have any rows that have five on one end and one on the other, that means that's just going to be a simple 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 going in either direction. So that's how he starts off his video, and more information is provided there. But you can find that on Twitter at RSBNB. I'll include a link in the show notes as well to that. And you also mentioned that you have the new puzzle boxes for you know, just the standard puzzle boxes that we've had since Level 3 Clues came out all those years ago. They finally added some new images to them, and these actually
beautiful images
look astounding. So. Mm-hmm. What did you guys make of those? I mean, aside from how they looked, you know, any problem solving them?
They were super colorful, and at first, I mean, since I didn't know which tile went where at first, it became a little bit tricky to solve, but once again, it's me learning how to do the puzzle all over again, and that's what's fun about it.
Yeah, that's kind of why they add the check option as well for that, so
Thank goodness for that. I don't think I'd ever be able to solve those without the check option.
Yeah. And I mean, if you just look at these, you can definitely see that these were images that were brought in, and they are high definition and, you know, what you would expect from modern RuneScape as well. So, very nice indeed. I got one of the elves. I got one of a dragon, I believe. And I think I got another one of something that looked kind of like Zaros, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Mm-hmm. I got Grigorovic as well.
Okay. Maybe that's the one.
Like a stock image of Grigorovic you see on the main screen, you just see him there.
Yeah. I don't know. It just feels like a rejuvenation. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, it takes the best of Elite Clue Scrolls and, you know, takes it away from, you know, the annoying parts about medium and hard. But we'll get to that in just a moment as to why those might not be annoying anymore. So I actually quite like the Master Clues. I did my free one that I got. It wasn't good. It was not good. It was not good, you guys.
No loot? Nothing, no good?
427K.
Oh, it's better than a kick in the pants, I guess.
With 103 Ceridomen arrows.
Oh.
That was my unique item.
Okay.
Ceridomen arrows.
Well.
I suppose
it could be worse.
I mean, it
you
could.
You did reroll that, right? Or can you reroll?
No, I didn't have a reroll available at the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, all in all, I mean, it seemed like. All in all, it went over very well, and that's what I think is important. I'm sure we'll touch on something later that might have been one small oversight. But for the most part, I was really surprised that people like clues as much as they do. I never realized people do them as much
yeah.
as they do.
Oh, yeah.
But they got into it. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I am not a clue person at all.
I always go for my weekly one. I always try to. I also always, you know, I sometimes, since this update was coming out, I did try and get another elite from the elves a couple times, but that proved not very successful. So.
Oh.
But now the biggest part about this update is, of course, the hidey holes. And, you know, this is what everyone was looking forward to when this was announced. So. There's different hidey holes, and you use them for the various emote clues throughout the various tiers and whatnot. Now, the master hidey holes require gold leafs, and that could be expensive to fill if, I mean, all things considered. I mean, 100K, do you really want to spend 100K to fill that? I don't know.
Well, it depends on how much of a clue person you are. You know, if you're doing one once in a while, maybe not. But if you, you know, do a clue every time you get one and you like to do it, then it's totally worth it.
Yeah,
I mean, one good item and you paid for everything 10 times over.
Right. And, I mean, it also frees up a boatload of bank space as well because
each
of those is 3 items. So, I mean, according to the wiki, there's 58 of these hidey holes that span easy, medium, hard, and master clues. So that's, you know, potentially close to 170 free bank spaces that you can get from this.
Yep.
So, and, you know, the first clue that I open up in my master clue, blow a raspberry at the Celestial Dragons. Equip Dragon Rider amulet and a dragon mask.
I blew myself away by having all 3 of them.
Hmm?
I didn't even think I had Dragon Defender, but I had it.
Oh, right, the Dragon Defender, yes.
That's going to hurt.
I had the Defender. I had the Defender. I had the Dragon Rider. I did not have the mask that I had to pay 2.3 mil for.
Oh, I would have let you borrow mine.
But I wanted to put it in my hidey hole, Alex.
Right.
2.3, and you only got
3 Dragon masks. Don't mind me.
Ouch.
Oh, you lucky. Okay.
I didn't collect dragon masks.
Okay, good to know. And of course, I would highly recommend, just as a little PSA out there, for those of you guys who have not done it, the Broken Home playthroughs, you need to play that quest 3 times to get the Asylum Surgeon's Ring. You need to play it once, you need to not die. You need to play it another time, not die, and only use one piece of food. And you need to play it a 3rd time, where you complete it in under 37 minutes.
I'll never own it. I'll never have it.
What's funny is that after you do it without the food, and like you did after the 4th time, then suddenly you kind of know where all the doors are and stuff. And so you just dash right through and it's no problem.
Yeah.
So really, you don't even have to think about that last achievement. You just do the other 3, and then by that time, you already are a master of it.
Yeah. And, you know, I did the one without dying already. I did that yesterday. It took 2 tries to get that one because I stupidly misclicked when that monster came out. And I don't know. I'm not a fan of Broken Home. I mean, it's not like it's that scary or something. It's just, I don't like that I can't see on the minimap where I am.
Yeah. So, I don't like anything
about
it.
Camera pointing north and you should be fine.
So, anyways, rest of the hidey holes, I mean, they're all fairly obvious locations. You just stuff the items in there that you need. And I mean, this definitely makes sense for the lower tiered clues. Because by doing that, you effectively, you know, you don't need to keep little things like leather chaps or sapphire rings or bronze chain bodies inside your bank if you do this. So it definitely makes sense for the lower tiered ones. And, you know, this is also partially why I avoided doing hard clues in the beginning as well. So so I'm very pleased with the hidey holes and all things considered, that's probably one of the better parts of this update. Well, it's all good, but you know. We also got the Globetrotter outfit, which is the outfit that you get by purchasing it with your treasure hunter or treasure trail points. Almost said treasure hunter there. but these treasure trail points have been stacking up since October of 2017 when they started tracking all that. So, you know, if you've been active in doing your clues, you can purchase various parts of the outfit. The jacket teleports you directly to the clue scroll location. The shorts automatically perform the correct emote. The boots activate for unlimited run. The arm guard's ability to use teleport scrolls that are stored in your bank. And the Globetrotter backpack ability to exchange the player's current clue scroll for a new one of the same difficulty. So... those are what the individual pieces can do in the full set. Access the outfit for emote clues if the respective hidey hole is filled. So this is why you want to fill your hidey holes. Once you get this outfit, you don't need to do anything at all in terms of swapping them and putting the gear on. So
that is nice. That's really nice.
Yeah, and I mean, you definitely can pick this up over time. You also get one less clue is required to earn an outfit ability change. One more clue outfit ability charge can be stored per outfit piece. And owning 2 pieces gives the player 1 more reward reroll storage per tier. And owning 4 pieces gives the players an extra reward reroll storage per tier as well. So... basically more rerolls. The grand total of this is 4,950 treasure trail points. I started off the week with around, 650, give or take. And now I'm up to around 760 based on the clues I've done.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yeah. And
that's it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I started with like 2,100 or
okay, so. Okay. So you've obviously been doing a lot more clues. Okay.
Yeah. Well, isn't it like, what is it, Shane, on the point scale? Is it like 8 for a elite, 10 for the master?
I got 16 for the master.
16 for the master, 16. 8 for the elite. And every 10, or rather at 10, that becomes 16. Then at 50 becomes 32, and at 100 becomes 64. So it basically doubles throughout the entire amount. So in theory, if you've done 100... master clue scrolls, you would get 128 points for completing that one clue scroll at 100.
Thanks.
So it works like Slayer points.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I mean, it's a good thing that they put that shop in, I think, right?
Yeah, it's great.
So, yeah. Well, you can even get clues, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another thing. You can purchase clues from the shop here, but you can only purchase easy, medium, and hard elite. You cannot purchase master clue scrolls. And that actually brings up something that we've been talking about here. So while you're skilling, you have a chance for your master clue scrolls your elite clue scrolls to morph into master. And that's one way of getting them. But another way of getting the master clue scrolls is to actually find them in elite clue scrolls. So that is how they are disseminating these. It's not like you're going to be able to go to any monster and find them. So,
I looked for this, but I couldn't. I never found an answer to this. But can you get a master from the crystal Triskelion?
Yes. It's yes. Again, if you there's a small chance that you'll get it from the elite, but yes, you can.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And, you know, with this, you can also get clue scrolls from fishing, mining, woodcutting, or divining and other skilling activities as well. And the tier that you get is going to be based off of the level of your activity, and elites start appearing at level 60 training methods or higher. And there's a 1% chance that any of these elite clue scrolls that you get will also be upgraded to a master clue scroll as well. So, I mean, there's another way of finding it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of other rewards you can get from the treasure trail hub that is in the Grand Exchange, the Varrock Grand Exchange, just south of it, you can also get Blue, which is an adorable pet. And I think we all know where that's coming from, right?
No.
Blue's Clues.
Oh, that guy.
Oh. Yeah.
The kids show, Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues. Oh, okay. There we go.
There's also the Explorer title, Globetrotter. So Globetrotter, Alex 43. Alex 43, the Enigmatologist, whatever the heck an Enigmatologist is.
The guy who researches enigmas.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because it's a field of study.
And something people might be really interested in with this, if you've done a lot of clues and you don't like a specific puzzle, you can now purchase untradeable skip tokens from the shop here. So towers, lockboxes, costumes, knots, and puzzle skips.
Yeah, it doesn't skip the puzzle. It just gives you a different puzzle, though. So keep that in mind.
Oh, it doesn't skip it entirely.
No, not entirely. Like, you could skip the tower, but you might get the...
Puzzle. The lockbox?
Yeah.
Well, for master clues.
Okay. So it might downgrade it to a knot, for example, then.
I'm not sure. I think it stays the same level, but I don't know.
Okay.
That I don't know, because I didn't test that myself. That was, but I know,
I would think it would skip it entirely.
I'm pretty sure it would call a puzzle downgrade tool.
But then again, I guess it also works on elite clues because those also have puzzles. Mm-hmm. And those you can skip with those. I've tried it and it works.
Oh, okay. So maybe that's the case. And I mean, I'm not going to be one to test this because I'm not going to waste points on that. The puzzles are part of the clue scroll, so it's not going to be something that I'm going to skip.
Agreed. But, I mean, you don't even have to spend points on them. You actually sometimes get them from a clue scroll.
Yeah, but these ones are untradeable ones that you can get. So.
They missed one opportunity, though, on the titles. I am a little disappointed that nobody came up with the Clue-ru. That should be a title. That's what I call one of my friends. He's loves clues, and so I call him the Clue-ru because, like, that would have been the perfect title. Like, how
we need to make
that one?
We need to make that part of the RuneScape linguistic database, then.
Right.
That would be epic, yes.
All right. We talked about the collections and the hub, so now on to some of the fixes that have been made to the treasure trail system in general. Clue scrolls are now completed when the casket is obtained and not when the casket is opened. And the reason they've done this is that you can now stack the reward caskets so you can open numerous at a time. I mean, does this mean that we're going to be seeing a double clue scroll loot weekend coming at some point?
Possibly.
Maybe. I think this is great, though, for streamers and YouTubers and stuff that, you know, like would like to save up and do like a loot from however many clues.
Okay.
This is really cool for that.
All right. That makes sense. A new set of options has been added to everyone's favorite gameplay settings tab under the heading minigame settings. The new options allow players to individually toggle whether they receive sealed clue scrolls from skilling or monster drops, and whether they see loot beams for clue scrolls. Guaranteed clue scroll sources bypass this, such as the aquarium, skeletal hoard, Triskelion keys, and the Prosper perk.
So too bad, sucker, you have to have a clue scroll.
Yeah, pretty much. Players can now trade down started and unstarted clue scrolls of a higher tier to a lower tier by swapping them with Zyda. So I guess if you had a master that you didn't want to do for some reason, you could swap that down to an elite. It's kind of baffling. I don't know why you would do that.
Matter of preference, I suppose.
Well,
or depending on how it's received, maybe the lower tier clue scrolls may actually have stuff that's worth more.
Or you may not have an asylum surgeon ring.
Okay.
Like me.
It's possible.
We're going to get that suit. Also, with this, speaking of Zyda, anyone who logs in can get a free clue scroll from Zyda. You just talk to her, and she'll give you one based on your total level. So everyone can do a clue scroll this week. So if you have your aquarium set up, and you're a Premier Club member, and you talk to Zyda, that's potentially three free clue scrolls that you get this week. All existing clue scrolls that historically took players to the bandit camp in the wilderness have been updated to point to nearby areas. Yay, that's good. That was always a hot spot for PK.
Hard to get into, hard to get out.
Clue scrolls are now dropped or looted as a new object called the Sealed Clue Scroll Difficulty, which stacks and gives players a new clue scroll of the same tier when opened. Players can only have up to one clue of each tier active at any time as before, and there's a soft cap on soft cap of 25 sealed clues for each tier, but guaranteed sources bypass this. So if you want to stack up your clues, you can do that. You can keep getting them, and you don't need to wait for them. So that's nice.
If I get 25 troll beams before that stops happening.
Yeah.
Although on the other hand, you don't have to stop fighting whatever you're fighting when you do get a hard clue scroll, in case you actually, you know, do like doing them.
Or if you don't want them, just turn it off. But you potentially giving up lots of GP there. Hard clue scrolls requiring an Amulet of Glory will now accept any charged or uncharged variant.
Thank goodness for that one.
Yeah, because
I got two stacks of glories in my bank right now.
Me too, from back in the day. I don't use them anymore, but they're there. Four new teleport scrolls have been added to all clue scroll tiers that teleport players to the lighthouse, the clock tower, Gutenoth, and to the treasure trail hub at the main Grand Exchange entrance. That's nice, because these are all just sitting in my bank and I never use them, so maybe once I get the outfit, that'd be good. Meerkat pouches now increase the scan range of scan clues by 5 paces. That's good because
it's very awesome.
Yeah, because I mean, there's some that are annoying to do, like the Ogre City one, or sorry,
Ogre City's fine.
Tycho's gonna kill me for this. What's the city under Lumbridge with the electricity?
City under Lumbridge?
The Cave Goblin City.
The Goblin, yes. Dorgishkon.
Dorgishkon, thank you.
Bad. I honestly don't think that one's that bad. Actually, there was one I did not like. Varrock, not too bad. It's still a little on the big side, though. You only get 16 paces.
All right, now I got a good one. Existing and future White Wolf Mountain scan clues have now been replaced with Menaphos scan clues. These have a scan range of 30 paces. Wolf Mountain one was always so annoying because you had to go numerous levels and whatnot, so Menaphos, I think, is a lot simpler.
Usually whenever it takes me to the Ice Queen, I beat her up just for the sake of it.
Damn it, come to Menaphos.
It's your fault.
We really want you to engage with Menaphos. Please come to Menaphos.
All dig locations for the Caridian Desert scan clue are now located east of the River Elid, as intended. I think that happened when they graphically updated the wilderness that, or sorry, the desert that some of them got shifted around. Mud pies and will now.
Sorry, Shane.
No, go ahead. No, you.
I was just gonna say, and if you've done the Menophos quest line, then you don't need a water tiara to do your desert scan.
Really nice.
Yeah.
All dig location. Oh, we did the dig one. Mud pies now always drop to the floor when thrown where possible instead of most of the time. Accidentally throwing pies at double agents should now be less of an issue. This is for the double agent in Shiloh Village Bank. I've thrown the mud pie at him before and lost it. And ever since then, I keep a stack of 5 mud pies in my bank just in case.
Yeah, 20.
Okay. New sliding puzzle images have been added for hard and elite puzzle boxes and caskets. We've talked about that.
And we've enjoyed them very much.
Yeah, they look very good.
I just did the one with V on it. That's really good.
Ooh, that's nice. Players will be eligible to receive 1 free Seal of Clue scroll from Zyda on login by the Treasure Trail Hub at the Grand Exchange main entrance. I mentioned that. And the tier will be decided based on your total level, ranging from easy to elite. Sarah Doman, Zamorak, and Guthix Wizards from Treasure Trails have been graphically updated. And here's another here's another great graphical update with this. The Sarah Doman Wizards, they're just right here. I mean, they actually look like actual wizards now. They don't look like they're wearing a bed sheet, so that's good. The Dragon Dagger model, of course, has been updated as well. I know some people won't like that, but it's a thing. And when you kill them, rather than dying and dropping what they had, they just teleport away and leave some loot in place. So they do look really, really good. And on that, I might as well mention right now, since we're talking about this, that Yuri has also been updated as well. So if you get Yuri from one of the emote clues and you need to kill him, has been graphically updated as well. So
don't worry, he's still wearing the spiffy purple outfit.
Yep.
Just looks like a spiffy purple outfit rather than a bathrobe.
Yeah, it looks much better as it would be in modern RuneScape 3. So sealed clue scrolls have been found in skills. We mentioned that previously as well. Skip tickets have been created for the 2 new master puzzles and can be obtained from elite caskets or from Zyda's shop. The Elvenlands elite clue scroll has been renamed to the Isildur and Lelia scan clue to help differentiate it from the new Priftina scanned clue.
Yep.
I didn't know they added one for Prif, but I mean, I guess that makes sense because we're always there anyways, right?
Why not? It's huge. There's enough room to hide some stuff there.
Yeah. Following from this, the Kazari Jungle Elite scan clue no longer has any dig locations inside or north of Herblore habitat, and it is contained entirely inside the Kazari Jungle, and the scan radius has been reduced to 14 paces. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember a while ago in a patch note that they made it so that the scan could not appear inside Herblore habitat.
Yeah, I think you're right. I vaguely remember that.
I don't know. I think I've always been able to scan inside there, but I mean, if they added a patch to make it so that from the Crazy Jungle you can't scan inside the Herblore habitat, that did get a little bit annoying because that means I'd have to go around. Yeah,
though I swear they fixed this, you know, sometime last year, but maybe I'm just imagining it.
I think what the issue was is that it was far away. It's too far away from the where you stand in the Crazy Jungle.
Okay.
Probably. Actually, I'm probably wrong.
The basic versions of the Robin Hood hat, the Ranger boots, and their recolored versions now all require 1 defense and 40 ranged to equip. Now, here's a big one that some of you guys might like and some of you guys might not like. The Sextant interface has been removed from Treasure Trails.
Yep, you just click on the clue, the scan, and it'll give you the coordinates right away.
Yes, using the Sextant option or applicable clue scroll object now plays a short animation, then prints the player's coordinates as before. The Sextant interface is still used in the Defender of Varrock quest.
Yep. Yeah, you can AFK hard clue scrolls.
And, you know, looking at this, it makes sense because that interface was straight out of RuneScape 2 and it was never updated for HD and it was never updated for NXT and it was never updated for resizable windows. So I guess they just got rid of it instead of trying to figure out how to modify it instead.
Yep, they could not make the sun look any better.
Yeah, and that's another thing. After NXT came around, it was really, really hard to see the sun.
Oh, yeah.
And even I'll say that.
Because what they did was they added textures and stuff, like a big, bumpy, normalized texture.
Yeah. Yaktui sticks are now configured as maces rather than swords, and I guess that makes sense because they are kind of magical, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Players can now obtain a second piece of the Prifteena's worker's attire if they have one piece already keepsaked. Players can now store up to 3 rerolls at once for each of the tiers by default, so it's not per entire character now, it's per tier, so that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Players can earn additional rerolls for each treasure trail with a new reroll token obtained from caskets or from Zyda's shop.
Cool.
Zyda and the treasure trail hub now provide some basic information on where to obtain clue scrolls from each tier. And Zamorak wizards now only spawn when digging for hard wilderness clues. Saradomin wizards will spawn when digging for any other applicable hard clue scrolls.
Yeah, I was wondering about why, where I was suddenly seeing Zamorak wizards all over the place.
Yeah, because, you know, you used to have Zamorak wizards and they would, appear randomly, I think, with the Saradomin wizards if you weren't in the wilderness. But before they added, of course, the Saradomin wizards and Guthix wizards, before they added the Guthix wizards, it was that Saradomin wizards were inside the main world and Zamorak wizards were in the wilderness only. So,
and the reason being is because the Saradomin wizards back then were actually a lot harder than they are right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
They used to be just nightmares because usually you would use prayer to defend yourself against them, but they were somewhat unique and they had 2 attack styles. Again, at the time, not very much had 2 attack styles, and you had 100% protection prayer on, so basically you had to pick which one would you rather take on. And usually people preferred to protect against a melee and have a mage because you could also poison, and again, back then, poison actually mattered.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk
about... Now doing an Araxor or puzzle box. It looks beautiful.
Let's talk about some of the rewards here. What do we got jumping out at us for rewards that we might want to pick up here from these new master clues?
A lot of my friends have been picking up the pajamas outfit. I seem to be loving that.
I got the boots from my first master. It was great.
Oh, really? Okay.
You can see that in my Informer article. You'll see a weird pair of boots on my final image. Now you know what those are. Those are the pajama boots.
Yeah.
Nice.
They did also add to the elite clue scroll drops. There's now a chance to get something called the Backstab Cape.
So or was sort that, of a gay cape.
Was the Backstab Cape in-game, or is that a new thing?
Yeah, I thought so.
Because that's something that wasn't...
Would it have been a treasure hunter reward?
Treasure Trail. I thought it was new because I saw a broadcast that this person has received a Backstab Cape, but that's something that was missed in the patch notes, is that there are now world broadcasts if you get one of these common, or rather very rare, rewards.
Yeah, because I'm sure we've had them.
Yeah, and I had no idea that was a thing. Like, I'd never got one of those. Okay, wow. All right, so what's jumping out at us from this master reward table? We know it's the... we know we have the various... Robin Hood pieces and the pajamas, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The Second Age armor, the Second Age melee equipment. Let's check.
Second Age Saradomin stuff.
Yeah. Okay. The Second Age plate body starts with a grand exchange price of 250 million GP.
Think this is going to keep going up or down?
Oh, I think it's definitely going to go up with this because, I mean, it's a brand new item and starting at this much and considering how rare it's going to be, this is the new
master clues are hard to get.
Yeah, precisely.
Like elites, you can pickpocket from elves, but master clues means a 1% chance of getting it from an elite, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah. We also have the Ring of Coins and the Ring of Trees. if you see, I saw a tree running around this week, and I was trying to figure, oh, what the heck is that? And oh, it's the Ring of Trees. Okay.
Yeah, that was. So, the Ring of Coins just turns into coins to troll people, I'm sure.
Yeah, so basically some nice little cosmetics with that. there's also the tuxedo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that.
Gilded calves and gilded boaters. Now, Tanis, you were talking about how those are, how the regular boaters are not.
Yeah, they kind of got ruined, at least in my opinion. And my, I told you guys last week about my friend that was like, he's had boaters forever, but they made him look like a floppy woman's beach hat. Now it's not good. Even the gilded one looks not good. I yeah, it's sad. It's messed up the boater.
I wish they'd not do that anymore, or at least give us an option to change them back, just like they do with the skill capes.
There we go. All we got to do is go right. Maybe we can get them back. We can toggle the boaters.
Yep. Not that hard. Right-click options. I feel like they do anything else.
Well, it wasn't broke, darn it.
You don't know why they felt flashed, like police sirens or police lights?
Something.
There's also the iced eyes.
Yeah, they're iced eyes.
Elemental impetus.
What?
The elemental impetus.
Elemental impetus. Is that staff?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. It's basically you combine it with any mystical staff to create the corresponding limitless version. So you could basically get a mud staff that is limitless. I don't know what it would provide to it, but it's worth 10 million.
I guess so. I'm seeing just elemental battle staff.
Tier 82. Oh, tier 82 magic weapon. That's why.
Okay.
So that's why. Anything else jumping out in the rewards here?
Yeah, what's this heavy chest? Is it something that you sit on, or do you...
Heavy chest.
No idea.
Yeah, heavy chest. That?
I don't know. It's in my treasure chest master. What I did was I went to my costume room storage, and I opened up my treasure trail chest to see what all the rewards you can stockpile in them are.
So oh, here we are, heavy chest. Yep. I don't know. I have no idea what it is. I mean, there's no...
There are also more dragon masks. Those are awesome.
It basically looks to be just a chest that you wear around on your back.
Just lugging around a big heavy chest, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. So.
Cool.
Some new spectacles, of course, that will override your headgear that you're wearing. Guido's fire in a bottle. They talked about that one on the stream, or bonfire in a bottle. Sorry, rather, it gives you it gives the same bonfire life point boost as Elder Logs, and it's basically a consumable potion that boosts your life points. So,
okay.
I guess this is just a way of saying, hey, I need to go boost my life points with a bonfire. Maybe this would be a thing to do. So, Oh, now this is a question. Does a bonfire life point boost work with Broken Home?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Huh. Okay.
Surprise, surprise. That'll maybe save you from one hit or so.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's 5% on 9,900 life points, so another 450 life points. I don't know. I don't know. Oh, and of course, the Pakyak mask.
The Pakyak mask.
Yeah, I mean...
Because everybody wants to look like a Pakyak.
Everyone wants to look like a yak, so...
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely want to do more clue scrolls after this update. I feel like it's put them into a good spot, though they weren't in a bad spot beforehand. So I'm pleased with that. Overall, how do you guys feel about it, the update?
What can I say? I love it.
Yeah, as a, you know, like, I'm kind of a non-clue person, but this almost made me want to do clues, so that in of itself is a huge win. And I actually think that this is they're doing what we said they needed to do in the beginning of the year. They're starting to rack up some solid wins and some solid content. And this one, for the most part, did go off without a hitch.
I guess we should talk about that a little bit, right?
There's a little hiccup, but you know, for the most part, this was content that people wanted. They enjoyed the update. No one's been really flaming it. Everyone seems to like it. So I have to say, good job. You know, they did good.
Yeah, the bug in question was an item duplication bug to do with the reward caskets. I'm not going to say exactly what it was because presumably it's been patched by this point, and I don't think it's in good taste to talk about bugs. So I just want to leave that there.
And the people were punished that abused it.
Yes, of course. That's something we should mention. I think Jagex said there were around 50 accounts that were banned from this.
So, yeah, that's what they put out on Twitter. Mm-hmm.
And if you purchased something that was netted from someone who did the exploit via the Grand Exchange, you were refunded your money with the GP put back on your account. So that
I'm
was
impressive they were able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they track state, I think, every hour, I believe. And they can, of course, track everything in the Grand Exchange well, so that makes sense, right? So these 50 people did something bad, check if they've done anything on the Grand Exchange before that update. And if they did, revert that too. So, all right. I don't think there's anything else for the Clue Scroll update, is there?
No. I mean, that's pretty beefy.
Yeah, very big. And I think this is the kind of update that, like you said, Tadis, people have been expecting and people want. So we're there. Mm-hmm. Okie doke. So a number of tiny little patch notes this week, 3. So the number of Clue Scroll slider puzzle scrambles has been reduced to improve solving times. And this follows the February 12th update to sliding puzzles. So basically, if you get one of these sliding puzzles now, it's going to be a lot easier to solve than it was before, which I think is good.
Very good.
Yeah. Support monkey trinkets are no longer deleted when completing a floor when dungeoneering. Someone who dungeoneers, explain what this is.
Uh-huh.
Support monkey trinkets. They were some old amulet that basically what you did was you gathered experience and then they rewarded you with more experience. Kind of like the Jack of Trades aura.
Okay.
And of course they had charges, right? So whenever they run out, they revert to a cosmetic version of itself. But if you were in Dungeoneering, of course it reverts to an item that technically isn't allowed in Dungeoneering and so it would erase itself.
All right, that makes sense.
And I have a feeling that the reason they had to fix it, per se, was because it was erasing itself without going back to Diango.
Right, okay.
So that was the issue, I think.
The banknote button no longer appears as active after first using the function, then closing and reopening the bank. So basically the button got stuck on, but it wasn't actually on in this case.
Oh, that's good, then.
Yeah. All right. Normally this survey comes around in May, but it's here, and it's February.
Surprise.
I was actually really surprised to see this. I logged in when it was bonus XP weekend time, and like, what? Why is this tab flashing? And, oh, we have a community survey. Oh, this is the big survey for 2018. All right, let's pay attention to this. So this survey is doable either in-game or you can do it on Jagex's SurveyMonkey page. And the URL to this will be included in the full show notes at update.rsbnb.com. So you go through the survey and, you know, there's a number of questions that ask about whether you're a member, what you enjoy doing in the in-game and whatnot. And, you know, are you a quester? Or are you just someone who likes to gain GP and complete everything? And then what do you most enjoy? Personally, I most enjoy skilling. I think I know what you guys enjoy, so I won't ask you guys. But then, you know, you get right into the survey contents here. And, you know, your first asked is the biggest question that's asked. Question number 4 on the survey is how interested would you be in getting your hands on these skilling updates? And you can have a rating scale from very uninterested to very interested. So let's go through some of these. 120 max cape.
Woohoo!
Okay. Nope.
Very interested.
Very uninterested for me.
I said no, I'm not interested in it. I didn't say very uninterested because I imagine that eventually I'll kind of get around to it because it'll be the last thing for me to do in RuneScape before I've completed it forever.
See, yeah, I just think that people that have worked hard enough to get 120s and all skills, man, you need something. You need a cape.
Okay. And this kind of goes back to a discussion I was having in the friends chat yesterday. You know, what exactly is the role of capes of accomplishment today? Personally, if I was at Jagex in 2006, 2007, when the capes of accomplishment were being designed, I would not have gone down that path personally, knowing what I know today. But with that being said, I don't think there's any going back on that. And I'm not saying this means that we should remove capes of accomplishment from game, or we should remove the mastery capes, or we should remove max, or we should remove trim. I just don't.
Why remove content?
Right. And, you know, I just think with the benefit of hindsight on this, a 120 max cape does not make sense until all of the skills go to 120 in their real sense.
Yeah, but the 120 capes aren't real, so
I know.
Just throw some smoke on it and we're done. Great.
I mean, I guess cool. They could do that as well, but doesn't the max cape already have smoke?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, just something that makes it stand out to recognize our achievements. Because, I mean, there's plenty of things that make you stand out in game. So if you want, if that tide has came in, you know, I mean, and at least you accomplished something. It's not like you can just, you know, I mean, it's not like a die or something that, I mean, if you got the money, you can buy that. And really, it's not the same thing. Like, you get 120 max, man, you deserve something. Because that is hours and hours and hours. Days. Mm-hmm. You know?
All right. I'm going to leave mine as uninterested on that.
We didn't convince you. Or I didn't convince
you. Well, you got it better. It was originally very uninterested.
Okay, well, okay. I'll take that. I'll take that.
Agility overhaul. Course D&D's new training and new rewards. I'm going to say very interested on this because the only thing agility is useful for right now is making yourself run longer.
Yeah, I'm not interested in agility at all. Yeah. I couldn't see myself doing it if they fixed it. That's the only reason I would choose not to.
Okay.
Or that I'm. Yeah.
I put that interested, actually, because I kind of just want to see what they do with it. I mean, right. I don't like training agility very much either, but by the sense of things, if they are going to be doing sort of a rework that has better rewards and maybe they change around how they actually do it, I might be interested to see what they kind of do with it.
Sorry. I didn't know you.
I was going to say, I'm afraid of that making it too high because then that could beat out a construction rework, and I just can't have that.
I want a construction rework really, really badly.
Honestly, the construction rework wasn't mentioned on this survey.
I know, but there
are real shame, and it cheesed me off so much. I said words that I probably should never have said in my lifetime.
But there's a bunch of construction type updates that I voted for.
Like the aquarium-like area for Hunter?
Exactly. Yep.
Totally. Okay. I put neither interested nor uninterested on this one.
Okay. The reason I did was not because I'm not so much I'm interested in a hunter area, but I am interested.
You want to subjugate animals?
Yeah, I want to shoot things. No, I want them to understand that construction is important, and we want that kind of content, like a roundabout way to being like, "Give me a construction rework." So that's why I went very interested.
All right. Dungeoneering races, team versus team dungeoneering. I'm very uninterested. I'm sorry you are not convincing me on that one.
I am also not interested in that.
Nor would I. I am right there with you.
Dungeoneering is fun to race when you're pretty well... Well, it's fun to get as fast at a time as possible by itself because that means you get faster experience.
It means there's
racing other people is just basically bragging rights. That's really it.
All right. Extreme skilling potions. Extremely interested for me.
Not at all interested for me because all my stats already are level 99.
And see, the thing is that this is just a high-level Herblore update, presumably. And Herblore has always been my secondary skill to farming. So there you go.
Which is cool. I just feel like, I mean, what place do we have if we've got the perfect juju that takes care of everything? So I don't know. It seemed redundant to me.
Right. And the reason I feel like that is that the perfect juju potion feels – it just doesn't feel that useful to me.
Kind of useful for engineering.
Yeah, that. And I don't know what else it's useful for.
Well, anything you would use a juju potion on or –
But the thing is that you don't get the benefits of the regular juju. It's only the juju plus potions you get the benefit of. And the perfect juju.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
You got a point. Isn't it?
No. Mm-hmm. Farming update, raising animals. I think you guys know my answer to that one.
Yep, you hate animals. You hate them with a passion. You want them all to die.
No, very interesting. I'm kidding. Farming update.
Yeah, farming update, right.
High-level Brimhaven agility arena. I put interested on this one.
Yeah, I'm not interested in any agility. Or wait, Brimhaven.
And that's the reason I put interested is because the Brimhaven agility arena right now is utterly useless if you're above level 50 agility, give or take.
Oh, yeah. Well, but it's not fun anyway.
It used to be fun back in the day when we just had standard runaround agility courses to do.
Oh, okay.
That's where I trained because we didn't have the Apatol course. All we had at the top end was the Wilderness course.
Times were tough back then.
Oh, yeah. You know what era that was, eh? Wow.
Yep.
Hunter elite skilling outfits solely gained via in-game content.
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to be getting all that anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why that's even on there.
I was a toss-up between interested and neither on this one.
Yeah, I just went with neither because if I wanted to do Hunter, I would probably just get the Arc outfit, which would be good enough.
Impling Revival, making them more worthwhile.
No.
I don't think there's anything wrong with Implings the way they are right now. So I just put neither.
I was just seeing them as a distraction and diversion. I don't think they really need an update.
Yeah. I mean, you can still net, you know, if you're lucky on the higher tiered ones, you know, 50 to 100K from them. And that's just a nice find sometimes. So. Master Skill Cape perks and improving 99 Skill Cape perks. Interested because let's recall that. Mm-hmm. When these skill cape perks came out, useless, some of them.
Some of them. Some of them are really, really good.
I think we did a hand count, and there's between 5 to 7 that were useful, and the rest were and there were just some that were downright garbage as well.
Yeah, some of them were garbage, but man, that cape was nice.
The agility cape is one of the useless ones right now because the Brimhaven agility course is so low leveled, and that gives more tokens there.
But there were some really good ones, too, though. I mean, the defense was great.
I think the farming one's really good.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are some good. It's a mixed bag, but I would love to see Master Cave so we have something substantial for 120. That would be great. And we get at least a little something that's useful.
Yeah, okay. I put it interested in that. Milestone Capes above level 90?
Yeah, for sure. That'd be cool.
Yep, milestone for level 91, for 92, for 93, for 94.
No, like 100, 110, 120, or one, yeah, something like that.
115.
Yeah.
115 and a half.
And then your master max cape.
Mm-hmm. More dungeoneering resource dungeons?
No. What would we need that for?
Well, more resources, you know. Makes engineering more worth it to train as a skill because you get more in-game practical use of that of the levels as opposed to just unlocking floors.
My problem with that is though, like once the Mayan smithing comes out, we're not competing over that stuff anymore. We have Slayer, we have personal Slayer dungeons, so we don't have to compete over that stuff anymore. So what's the point? Like that to me, I just don't feel like it's that, you know, cost benefit thing, and I don't feel there's just no point to it.
Well, it depends on what they do with it.
I know, but what could they do? Like,
how about something like concentrated mithril ore in the living rock caverns?
It's all going to be concentrated ore.
Well, that's what it means before you get the Prishnas, right? So it's not necessarily
for high level. With the mining and smithing rework.
Yeah.
All right. This is just an example, like a practical real world sort of example as to right now as opposed to what's about to happen.
I said interested in this because I feel right now that Dungeoneering is still very focused on Daemonheim. And, you know, there's lots of people, myself included, that it doesn't feel like an actual skill. So if there were more uses for it outside of Daemonheim, then that would go a long way to allaying that reason. So that's why I said interested on this.
Yeah, agreed.
Now, time to open up that wound from last summer. More Menaphos reputation unlocks.
Uh-huh. I just don't care anymore.
I had to say interested on this because, I mean, as it is right now, you get cosmetics and you unlock quests, which, I mean, how fun is that?
Not
exactly
much, yeah.
I said very interested because I just want another excuse to do it.
No, I'm in Tanis' camp. I'm only saying very interested on the ones that benefit me and the ones I'm looking forward to, and that's the farming and herb lore ones.
Yeah,
All the rest are interested at the shop.
Exactly. That's what we're supposed to do, right?
Like that?
Pickpocketing summoners, combat thieving, and summoning training. I'm not entirely sure what this is, and this is where I am going to report back to a thread that was posted by Maud Osborne, which is the blog for this annual survey, and they go through the updates here and what they are, and they say that this is a genre of game update that we wanted to test and haven't really tried before, cross-skill training. Summoners and familiars would appear on the game world in one location, and players could train pickpocketing on the summoners, combat and slayer on the familiars, and gain charms from both. It might be that the familiars the summoners summon are new, bringing in a new familiar.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of that. I would just go neither.
I don't have enough information even from that, so I'm going to go neither. Yep. Player as a Slayer Master?
No.
Yes. Very interested. Yes. We need that. That should have been the end. That should have, like, we needed that. We should already have that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that would be the ultimate goal of 120, and this is described as the player becomes a top-tier Slayer Master, able to assign tasks to themselves and others. Players would aim to become the best of the Slayer Masters, building their list of tasks.
That'd be so cool. I just think that'd be so fun.
I'll say interested. Hey, at least you're becoming... At least it's not like becoming a Pokemon Master.
Kind of the opposite, in fact. Pokemon Master, you collect stuff. Slayer Master, you kill stuff.
True.
All right. The POH treasury where a player could show off their wealth.
Yes. You know what? And I'm poor, but I don't care because it's a construction update. Yeah, so I'm very interested.
All right. Yeah. Ports expansion 4.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're fun.
Love me some ports.
All right. Why?
More story.
Well, there's a story which I thought was kind of cheeky and fun all along. And when ports first came out, not even when they first came out. You know what? I still wear ports armor sometimes.
And oh, yeah, me too. That's my go-to like Slayer armor. And
yeah, so I don't know. I've always kind of liked ports. It's fun. It's different. It's just something different, you know?
You know, I like the idea of ports. I like doing ports. But I don't think that this should come into game unless there is a accompanying expansion to the Eastern lands in terms of the port's diary to do it with, you know, like, let's not just add three more skills to it, and let's not just, you know, add new tasks and whatnot and new rewards. If we're going to do this, let's make sure it's a full actual ports update.
Well, and hey, let's go east by going west. Maybe we'll find something new. Maybe we'll find a whole new continent. You never know.
Well, there's a section for that later.
It's happened before.
Yeah. All right, Skilling God Books.
Meh.
Yeah.
Think that meh for me.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree. Skilling Raids or Encounters? Nope, definitely not for me.
I thought that might be kind of interesting. It sounds like it would sort of be an expansion as to how Barbarian Assault works.
Yeah, I thought it
would be. Players kind of cooperate together, cool. Doing just kind of weird things to accomplish a task of some kind. And then Barbarian Assault is fun, so I thought maybe it might be sort of similar to that.
And I thought Skilling, I mean, it's hard to mess that up, so nobody will be yelling at you. You know, it's not going to be like elitist, you know. Or I don't know, mate, you might have to two-tick cook or something. Or like, you know, you're not two-tick cooking? What's the matter with you?
Two-player agility course.
See, why? Are we going to hold hands? We're going to frolic along the course?
If they want to make this work, get Skull Ball. Get the Skull Ball agility course working first.
Oh. I just got a Master Clue scroll from an elite.
Oh, nice. That's my take on that.
Skull Ball? I can't even believe you. That's terrible.
See, what? It doesn't work.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the next set of questions. This is for completionists, and this determines if you branch out or not. Do you own any version of the comp cape? So if I say no here, would you consider aiming for the comp cape in the future? And you can say no, yes, once I have completed other goals. Yes, I'm aiming for it for now. I said no, and I filled in the reason for it.
I'm aiming for it now.
Do you want to know the reason? I said no.
Because you like to do one thing at a time and you got max first?
No. Oh. Because I think that the completionist culture that has come to game and has come to game since the Capes of Accomplishment and whatnot have arrived is unhealthy at points. I mean, I know people who have burned out because they were going for one of these capes, and I don't like that that's there. So that's why I said no when I did that. And for those of you guys,
that's fair.
And for those of you guys watching, on the YouTube version of the show here, I am going through the survey right now on the video here. And the reason for that is because I want to show the survey options. But I have filled out the survey on my own before, and I will not be submitting this one to Jagex because that would just be bad to submit it multiple times. Sure. Now, which of these comp cape achievements puts you off from gaining the comp cape?
Is it there?
Yeah, that's
Please
there.
Tell me that's there.
That's there.
Okay.
Complete Check all quests is there. Increase skills to mastery level. Complete all tasks. Defeat every boss at least once to earn the title The Reaper. I would say that one's there for me. Unlock all of the combination potion recipes from Clad Bailure and Priftidus. Fully build the statue of Rihanna in the Tower of Voices at least once.
That's difficult.
Yeah, it is. I put that one in there as well. Unlock all music tracks. That's fine. Earn the title The Famous by completing Morphin Slayer Challenge. That one's there for me.
That wasn't that hard, actually.
Yeah. I haven't been able to do it yet, and I've tried and tried. It's the timing issue for me.
Right.
Just kill Araxor first and then go from there.
Oh, wait, that's... No, this is the one where you have to do it on Platinum, right? This is where you...
Is it?
I thought...
He said Slayer Challenge, right? I thought it was the Boss Slayer Challenge.
No, Morphrin's. So it's his Rush of Blood Challenge.
Yeah, Rush of Blood, okay. Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, I did that one too.
It's really hard. You got to do I think you have to go through 20 waves, is it? But it's a really short time. So it's...
Yeah. 10 minutes to do 20 waves. So you kind of actually have to be lucky, usually.
Yes.
Depends on what you get. Sometimes you get stuff that die fast, but sometimes you get stuff that takes ages, like a tormented demon.
Purchase the first tier of upgrades in the Wyco Reward Shop.
That one's not that bad, actually.
Yeah. Purchase all blueprints for invention technology devices. That's
not
too bad either.
Easy.
Reach full kudos in the Varrock Museum.
Easy.
Yep.
Collect one of each Impling for Daffy D.
Easy.
That sucked, but...
It's there.
Oh, I did it.
Yeah, I've done it too.
I didn't even go for it. I just, whenever I saw the Impling, I grabbed it and eventually, oh, look at that, I got it.
Yeah.
It was the crystal that hung me up forever.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I finally got
same.
It.
Actually, I got my crystal one kind of early. I found it just hovering around Priftness. I think it was the dragon one I had trouble with.
Obtain titles from all the elven clans.
That one's giving me some trouble.
That's not too bad.
Omlad especially, because I cannot tell what my progress is on that one.
Gain all Lunar Farm or Livid Farm unlocks. That's there.
Oh my gosh.
Can we get rid of that one? Just get rid of it. Entirely
complete all arc
right
mini quests. That's right. Complete all arc mini quests.
That's not bad.
Complete the fight kiln. Yeah, that's there for me.
That's not bad.
Complete one of the trio storylines from your player owned port.
Easy.
Now,
yeah. It just takes a while because you have to kind of wait a few days for everything.
Mm-hmm. Whoa! I messed that up. Okay, let's go back. Now let's have a look at what it's going to look like if you said yes, you have a comp cape. So yes, if you have a comp cape, what was the main factor behind you achieving your comp cape?
Lots and lots of coffee.
Appearance, prestige, sense of achievement, stats, teleports in effect, or nothing else to do?
Well, it doesn't have e-dating on there.
Doesn't have what?
E-dating.
No,
so you can look like a big macho man, you know, like, look at me. I'm
you don't have to buy girlfriends. They'll pay for themselves.
Well, there is an other field that you could put that in there. So you could type e-dating in.
You know.
Which of these comp cape achievements did you find frustrating? And this is the same list that we had previously.
Okay.
Which of these comp cape achievements did you find enjoyable? And that's the same list that we had previously.
Okay.
How do you feel if a game update comes with a completion escape requirement? Very frustrated, frustrated, indifferent, happy, or very happy?
No one is going to check happy. I don't know anyone that is happy that they have to get their game back. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, I'm really happy. No. 0%.
Indifferent. All right, so combat updates now. And you'll note combat updates are in the middle of the survey here. So, same very uninterested to very interested scale. Abyssal monsters, high-level slayer creatures.
Meh.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I said interested. Castle Wars 2, cooperative state sieges.
Nope.
Boo.
I said interested because Castle Wars was the first minigame, and I want to see them do something with it.
Yeah, that would be nice, but still, meh.
Dungeoneering Master, creating dungeons for others to complete?
Yes.
Eh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, let me be evil.
Free to play boss. How about that?
Sure.
Doesn't really affect me because I'm not free to play.
Yeah.
I mean, good for them and everything like that. But
well, it'd be an add-on to the mall, so I'll say interested. Floor 61 is a raid? No, thank you. Not interested in raids. New dragons? Not interested. We have enough of those.
No, dragons are awesome. I like dragons.
I know.
I like dragons too, but...
Like, we have enough in-game already,
I'm very interested in new dragons.
We need good dragons. We need, like, gold and silver good dragons.
Well, the latest ones were the gemstone dragons and the runite dragons, and those had some very neat mechanics to them. So I say yes.
Pest Control 2, taking the fight to the void?
Sure.
I'm going to say...
At long last, we get a revenge for all these
I'm
going to
say interested.
I mean, it sounds great, but I don't want another dead minigame in a week.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If they did anything with Castle Wars or Pest Control, it needs to be done so that it is going to be sustainable. How about prayer training via combat?
We have that. It's called a bone crusher.
Exactly. So very uninterested. Seasonal Darkscape.
Yes.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Are you sure about that after Dimension of the Damned seasonal event?
I am not all interested in that. Sorry.
You had to bring that up. you had to bring that up. Oh, now I'm torn because that was very disappointing. But Darkscape was fun. Just had to twist that knife a little bit. Ugh. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I guess you just took my very interesting to neither. I don't know. Yeah, it's true.
Solo Abyssal Boss, Hostilius the Autocrat? No, thank you.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay. Two-player boss. Sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Two-player kiln, waves experience, and, of course, the fight caves.
There you go, Shane. We could do that. I'll take you.
Fine, I'll say interested. And weapon diversity, making weapon types feel different.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yes.
That would be.
Yeah. Then I could get my battle axe out again.
Yeah. Now we're going to learn about combat types and what people use. You can choose Full Manual, Revolution, Legacy, or I don't know.
What about Revolution Plus Plus?
Well, that's part of Revolution, I say.
Yeah, Revolution.
Yeah, I'll take that.
All right, now here's a good one. How do you feel high-tier weapons and armor should be introduced into the game? Choices being dropped in full, ready to use, add-ons to a previous tier, dropped components that require non-combat skilling to complete.
Treasure Hunter.
Dropped components that require non-combat skilling to complete?
That would be cool.
Oh, yes.
I checked
that
one.
That's what I want. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, that would
me
be
too.
Cool.
That would make the mining and smithing rework totally worth it to me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the PVMers are going to hate that one. They're going to be like, no!
No, you got to do work.
Yep, I like that. Now a really combat mechanic-wise question here. What would you prefer accuracy and defense do? Current system with a chance to miss your attacks? Current system, but if you miss with an ability, it reduces the cooldown of that ability missed? Remove missing entirely, and instead defense provides a damage reduction while accuracy counters defense? Or deal reduced damage when you miss rather than dealing no damage at all?
I think damage reduction with accuracy, reducing it. That makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, that's what I said on here. And I also said is that if you have more accuracy than the enemy's defense, it should buff your crit chance.
Yeah, see, now that makes perfect sense. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that's an idea. All right, how interested are you in the following combat rewards from very uninterested to very interested? Tank armor.
Interested.
Very interested.
Yeah. Power armor.
Interested.
Not interested.
You don't like being a powerhouse?
Nah, it's like being tanky.
Yeah, same.
Because power doesn't do me any good anyway. I'm not a DPS player. I just need to survive.
Well, see, the thing is, if you kill the boss really fast, you don't have to worry about getting hit as much.
Yeah, I'm going to get hit, and I don't do anything fast. Just ask my wife.
Oh.
Yeah. She's always telling me for being slow.
Fix it.
Top tier weapon?
The thing is that once the top tier weapon comes out, suddenly the weapon I already have becomes redundant.
That's right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a lot of fun to kind of save up for that weapon. And once I do get it at long last, it feels so worthwhile. And then, of course, they release a new one and then it becomes redundant again. So sort of a cycle of accomplishment and disappointment. So just to keep me emotional, I said yeah.
But the top tiers are so expensive. Like it's almost like, okay, so it's like, you know, the Telos weapons. To me, it's like they don't exist.
Yeah.
But that doesn't exist. I still have my Nox is what I have. Because
and that's perfectly fine. Like it's only a small percentage point difference. There's no reason to go all the way up to a tier 92 if you have a Nox or any tier 90 for that matter.
if it's just convenient for you, or you're stinking rich and have nothing else to spend it on.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. How about a high tier weapon with unique effects? I'm going to say
I like effects because that's when things get interesting.
What about special attacks?
Doing more damage and styling. Mm-hmm. You have to style your bosses. You have to make it look awesome.
Special attacks?
Oh, yeah. Same thing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I'd like special attacks to come back. Filling the armor and weapon gaps within the current tiers. So, I mean, I guess that would mean you could have a tier 83 weapon, for example.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I feel like from 80 above, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
For 80 and below, I don't...
It's 80 and below, that's a problem, I think.
Yeah, but those levels go so quick that
would you really
up it, you know?
All right. Well, let's just say I'm interested on that then. New abilities? Very interested because we know that Malie has double the abilities of magic and range, so why not? New spells? I don't think we need new spells. We have two spell books that are very nice as it is right now.
What abilities are for, too.
That's right. So. New prayers, same thing as the spells, I feel. Two spell books, very good. Just add to the existing books if need be, but I don't think we need that at this point because, you know, just look how expensive those prayers and whatnot were that came from Nex, Angel of Death. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
New jewelry? I'm not sure what to put for this one.
I said no because I've already got two. I've only got one neck and one finger, apparently.
You know, and they just did that jewelry rework not very long ago, so... No.
I'm very uninterested.
And
sigils.
I mean, what are you going to substitute for our Luck of the Dwarves ring?
Sigils.
Not looking at my ring. I'm here.
Sigils aren't used right now, so I have to say interested.
Yeah.
But you can. What about the Shattered Worlds ones? You know.
that's pretty funny.
Right.
Yeah. All right. How about pocket slot items?
Yeah, I'm interested in that.
I don't know. There's still already quite a few of them now. I think I'm good for those.
New consumable items, food, potions, etc.
Food's always good.
Maybe? I don't
RuneScape,
know.
RuneScape proper ice cream, like soft serve.
What do you guys
chocolate
think?
Chocolate soft serve, customizable sundaes, you know?
It's
going to heal. I'm going to make it taste good.
I can't think of a use for it. That's
brown
that's
sugar top blue cheese steak from RuneScape heals 23,000.
Yeah.
New familiars.
Yes.
No, just make them relevant. How about that?
Okay, fair enough.
Just fix it.
Yes, because more options.
New invention perks?
Always.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Which of the following changes to the Reaper title would you prefer? Leave it as it is? Have a version of Reaper on comp that doesn't require top-end bosses, but keep Reaper on trim? Remove Reaper from comp only? Or remove Reaper from comp cape and trimmed comp cape?
Either give me the lower end or remove it completely, because I don't think it should be there.
I voted for a second one.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be just removed from trim. Or, I'm sorry, removed from...
Trim?
Removed from the regular comp cape, sorry.
From comp, yeah. That's cool. That's cool, man.
I like the idea is that you need to kill all the bosses for the composite cape. If you want the trimmed one, you have to unkill them.
Now a question I have no idea why they're asking, but do you prefer armor that looks realistic and medieval or armor that looks fantastical and elaborate?
I like
fantastical
medieval.
Because, well, why not?
I said realistic.
Yeah, that's what I would say too.
Yeah. And now, what is the most important issue you want us to address in regards to combat? Don't cave towards the 4-tick auto-attacking crowd. We also fix summoning. We want that done. And weapon diversity between types.
I put needs more lasers. How many needs more lasers? I saw Onslaught in action. I'm like, yes! But it's still not lasery enough. You need like just this big, fantastical, colorful beam that just eviscerates your opponent.
Like a laser sword.
Oh yeah, laser sword.
Yeah.
We are not adding lightsabers to RuneScape.
Oh, damn it,
kind of thing.
All right, moving on. Story updates. Okay. Yep. How interested would you be on getting your hands on the following story updates? From very uninterested to interested. Or very interested.
From very interested to interested, I'm not that interested in that kind of story.
Boss quests, learning about Araxor and Virago, very uninterested for me.
Yeah.
Very interested for me.
Okay. Broken Home 2, very uninterested.
Very uninterested. Shut up.
Death of Chivalry 2, very interested.
Yes. What happened when they left?
Yeah.
Where did you go, the centaurs? Yeah. Come on, I want to know.
Yeah. Desert Quest finale, taking the battle to Amaskit, falling after Menaphos. Yes, very interested.
I feel so bad for what I did there, even though I didn't actually do it.
Desert Treasure 2, very interested.
Yeah. I'm kind of indifferent on that one. I don't know what they're going to do with it.
Well, I mean, Zaros is back, and it'd be an interesting thing to examine, I think, given that the heart is in the wilderness, or in the desert and whatnot now. Dragon Rider Quest, very interested.
Yes.
Ernest the Longsword. Ernest becomes a levelable weapon. Very uninterested.
No.
Yeah. Why would
I like the idea. I'm sure it's going to be a funny sort of joke of a quest, but I don't know.
Yeah, shouldn't he become a pickaxe first? They missed an opportunity there.
Yeah. Gnome finale. Very interested. Very interested.
Yes. Live finales.
Finales are great.
God Saga's Origins of Bando, Ceridome, and Tuska, etc.
I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Lost Grove quest.
No.
Nah. Okay. I agree with that.
It's too new. I'm not really explored it very much. I'm not really interested in it. There's so much other stuff that I'm interested in.
Menaphos quest improvements. Yes.
Yeah.
Monkey Madness 2?
Yes, because OS is not allowed to have better updates than we are, and that irritates me.
Yeah. I just
want to get those gnomes out of the jail cell at long last. They've been in there for years, and they're even supposed to be in there. They've been tasked, hired, and paid to be in jail. I want them out.
And I'm saying yes, and I even hated that quest.
Okay.
So hard.
That was great.
So hard.
This should have come to RS3 first. But anyways, narrative-oriented raids, no thank you.
No.
I said yeah on that one, actually. I thought it would be kind of cool.
It'd make raids more like actual raids, but I don't care enough to say yes, I guess.
All right.
It's like playing Destiny, you know?
New Slayer quest, Void, Kraken, Abyssal Slayer.
Not super interested in that. I'm not into big into Slayer.
Same.
Yeah.
One Small Favor too.
Yeah. F yeah. I tried
to No.
I have to say yes just because it's so iconic.
Am I being trolled?
Like, no, you're doing the quest with
you
two.
Trolling?
You're doing the podcast with two questers.
And I legit love that quest.
I played
old school RuneScape just so I could do that quest again. And then I did the quest, and then I stopped playing old school RuneScape. That's how I do things.
Uh-huh.
I also did RuneScape quest.
Do you like getting beat in your spare time? It's just pain. It's just nothing but pain. There was nothing.
It's awesome. What are you talking about? You ran around RuneScape for a purpose, and you went all the way back again. It was great.
Oh, so this is pain. I still have
quest
trauma.
List.
I don't think you did the quest right. You may have to do it again.
Quest list and journal rework. Yeah. Okay. Quest point reward unlock shop.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure.
Definitely yes.
Quest that explores the origins of the Slayer Masters.
Not super interested in it.
That'd be kind of cool, I guess. I don't know. I'd like to see where they came from.
All right. Random event quests.
Witchers. Yeah? You think? Okay.
Maybe.
Probably just a bunch of drinking buddies getting together and said, hey, I got a great idea. Let's just go and have all these people do this stuff for us. We get all the glory, bro. And they're like, yeah, man, let's do it.
Hey, hold my beer.
Yeah. And see, we get to tell people that like we're super awesome and stuff because we tell people to kill stuff because there's just no challenge to it anymore. It makes us look real tough, bro.
Random event quest player infiltrates the random events. I think that'd be fun. That sounds like a Jagex style quest.
Sounds terrible.
Rework of Salt in the Wound?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I agree.
Salt. Was that the slug?
Yeah, the sea slug finale.
That was kind of cool.
The sea
I like
slug
that
finale.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Underground.
The ending kind of fell apart a little bit there. I mean, I thought it was kind of cool. We were charging in there and stuff, but I was hoping some people would die, actually, because that would have made it a lot more epic.
Yeah.
Underground Pass 2, traveling to the base of the Elf City.
I would like to kind of like to see that.
Yep.
I'm super interested.
I agree. I would love to see Underground Pass 2.
My God, you guys love all the most painful quests that there is.
You're like, not doing them right, dude.
Oh, they're
hard. Don't do them just to complete them. You do them to enjoy them. You do them for the experience. It's like reading a book. You sound like the kind of person who looks at the back of the cover and decides, I know what this book's about now.
No, but quest, man. I don't know. Well, I mean, actually, quests are like reading a book, so
are
might
the
be on something there. I mean, I like certain ones, but those ones are like the really tedious, not enjoyable ones.
You know what? I'm disappointed that's not here on this list.
What's that?
Elemental Workshop.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, you would! Add that to the list!
Please add that to
Elemental
the list.
Workshop is one of my favorite bottle quest series outside of a major storyline.
Simple, but so awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, just basically do a puzzle, you get a piece of armor.
And that's then right!
With every subsequent quest, the mystery kind of deepens as though like you're seeing
exactly.
Okay, this looks like getting more involved and people are really
exactly.
researching this. How did it end? What happened to this big place that made it collapse?
Yes.
But that puzzle, that was it.
I want to know.
That terrible, terrible
I want to know puzzle. What the next puzzle is in Elemental Workshop.
I don't know. Maybe it couldn't be any worse, so I don't know.
And finally, Wise Old Man Quest written in collaboration with Mod Ash. Definitely.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think the guy was a charmer by now, but apparently the people just love him so much they wanted to keep doing stuff.
Yeah, because isn't he and the old witch lady, didn't they all hook up and stuff? And
yeah, he did.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
And he retired from questing altogether, and now we're going to have another quest with him.
The Lore Council have been charged with coming up with a story plan for RuneScape's future. How important is lore/story to you?
Stupid important.
Yeah, it's important, but
it's the reason I play. It's important. I'm vaguely interested, or I don't care.
Well, it's important,
yeah.
But why are they asking this when we're not done with the sixth age?
Right,
like that is kind of.
What if they retcon the whole sixth age?
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Anyways, how important are new graphics?
It was all a dream.
And lavish areas in quests. I don't really care about new graphics in quests. I have to say. Because, I mean,
yeah, I don't
that's what quests were when the game came out. So, well, I mean, let's just keep it that way.
Yeah. Doesn't matter to me.
Is it important to have unique gameplay? I say it's nice, but it's not super important.
Yeah, not really. Mm-mm.
All right. How important is it to have combat in the quests? I say I only want combat if it makes sense to the story.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah, totally agree. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to see story included in other non-quest updates?
Of course. Always.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, all updates should include story in some way.
Good. More substance.
And then you can, with a sliding rule here, rate how you prefer to experience story in RuneScape. For me, it is dialogue, gameplay, cutscenes, item, object, names, examines, lore books, graphics, and then reading the wiki, RuneScape novels at the very bottom. Sorry to the authors out there.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing, none of those choices are how I like to enjoy the lore. Right. And that's sad.
Yeah. I just went to the browsers and inspect element and cracked the JavaScript so that I can label everything as one.
I'm kind of disappointed that there's not one question about having things voiced. And like I've always said, I don't need actors. I just want to listen to it. That would be great. Yeah. And that's how I like to, I mean, that's how I've learned the lore. And when I was like into questing, it was because that was when they started voicing stuff. And I started listening to a YouTuber that had this whole lore series and he would tell you about it so I could listen to it. Like,
okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. That's,
so you want it more for an assistive slot rather than immersion level then?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And you think it would be fun for them? I mean, they can just have them going around saying, "All right, everybody, we got all these important NPCs in a hat, draw one, and then you become him."
Mm-hmm.
All right. How would you feel about getting your hands on these areas and world event updates? Daemonheim spills onto the surface. Very uninterested.
Yeah, uninterested in that.
Dungeoneering 461?
It sounds like it's supposed to be a world event. But...
Nope.
Why don't you want 461?
Sounds like people want that to be a raid of some kind.
Yeah, I think it should just be a regular floor 461.
Alright.
Exploring,
I guess Dungeoneering is already a raid, so whatever.
Exploring the Abyss, very interested to me because that delves into the RuneScape cosmology that they talked about at RuneFest.
Maybe they could tie in Shattered Worlds.
Oh, maybe.
And give us the quest for that, which would be cool.
Okay. Exploring the Avian Sea homeworld of Abana.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Yep, okay. Yeah,
I want that one.
Exploring the demon homeworld of Infernus. Not really.
I don't care.
I wouldn't mind seeing it. It sounds pretty neat because it's not just demons there. You've got the weird things as well.
Exploring the Icene homeworld of Hallow, very interested because we didn't really see much of the Icene after the vampire questline. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's what Zilliana is. Exploring the wilderness before the wilderness explosion, so in effect, before the Second Age, Zaros torched it and whatnot. So, yes.
You probably get to use that key again, sure.
Yeah. Fossil Island, once again, an old school update. Nope.
Yep, no.
Yes, just for completion. Purely just to see what all the hype is about.
No. I don't.
They're forever going to build a boat then, is what you're saying?
I don't want to build into this game updates that were put into old school on the whim of the community. If the updates are coming into this game, I want them to come into this game because they make sense for this game. Just because old school has Fossil Island doesn't mean we should have it.
Although it does kind of tie up some loose ends. I hate loose ends that we have all over the place here.
Giant's homeworld, a small player in a giant world.
Yeah.
Not
super interested in that, but it sounds like it would be fun to see.
All right. Mysterious content explored one update at a time.
I have no idea what that means.
My sense is that it would basically be like Dungeoneering, except it's out on a continent and it's updated. They add in new parts to it each week.
They kind of already have that. It's called the Eastern Lands.
I'm not confident that they could.
Right. And that was my first thought with that as well. So, okay. Reclaiming barren parts of the wilderness.
What do they mean by reclaim? Like, are you saying reclaim as in make them non-wilderness, or reclaim as in make them stealing spots?
Make them non-wilderness. Or, make it not burnt.
I wouldn't actually mind doing that. Yeah. I said yeah to that
I think that's interesting. Sure. Sea monsters attack, the shoreline is no longer safe. No, thank you.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, something different. Because we don't really go to, like, the only reason you really go to Port Theron is if you're doing, like, your daily runs or your ports, and you never go to the other side. What's the other place? South of Ardung. I don't know. You're never around
Karamja, Brimhaven.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just want to see the mermaids again, don't you?
Well, that'd be cool. That might be a side effect, you know, a nice. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you just want to see the mermaids again.
The Skull, Eastern Lands 2.
Yep, totally.
Nope. Based on our response that we had when the first batch of when the arc came out, I don't want to do that again.
And why do we have to keep going east? Let's go somewhere else. Let's go south.
Yeah.
Let's go west.
The last one is Zay in the Sixth Age, which is another old school update.
I said no on that one.
Yeah, no.
I have no idea what it is.
All right. And finally, temporary events here. Which of the following do you enjoy in temporary events? Crater events at the Lumbridge Crater. Beach, Spring Fair.
I do like to check them out sometimes, but yes.
Yeah.
Bingo card events. Nope. Yeah. Currency events. Nope. No, thank you.
No.
They're not that good.
Double XP weekend.
Oh yeah.
Escalating skill events like the Sword of Rattalin and God Wars Encampment.
Those are all right.
Those are okay, but if you miss them, like, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And I missed the God Wars one, so yeah.
Holiday events.
When
Christmas,
they're good.
Halloween.
I'm always good with holiday events. I mean,
yeah, I like them, but
I never have any anticipation that they are supposed to be good. I just enjoy them as they are, and like, oh, that was fun. Whatever.
I don't like them when they're like a quest, because I don't want to have to do more of that. But I don't know. I liked them when they were like Death's House, and I liked it when the Christmas one was down there when you fed the reindeer and all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes I really like them. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, I can't be bothered.
All right. Invasion events, Falador invasion, Port Serum invasion. I said no.
Those are kind of fun, just fighting a whole lot of
enemies. Yeah, that's kind of neat.
All right.
Sure.
Raffles.
I kind of like the raffle.
All right.
I like the raffle because we don't actually pay for the raffle, right? I mean, that's not a thing. You don't get extra tickets on Treasure Hunter for the raffle. So it's cool like that, you know? It's just like a daily thing. You might win something, might not.
Okay.
It's because it's a limited number of the rare drops as well, so that when you actually do win something, it actually feels really good.
Yeah. Road trips, May road trip, or Super September?
I would like to get the Cheeky Monkey again. I missed out on
it's
him.
A good pet. Winter weekends? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
World events?
Yeah, totally.
I enjoy those, yeah.
They're all awesome. Right. They kind of shape RuneScape. It's like us being able to change the content on our own accord.
Yeah, I kind
of
like
that. Provided, of course, that the team you're on wins.
The following are ideas for different approaches to events. Which do you like the sound of? Item drop bingo cards. A bingo card of drops, bird's nest, Triskelion, keys, etc. Complete a line to get a reward. Say yes or no, you guys.
No.
Alex?
I kind of med on that one because...
Yeah, I'm a no. I'm a no there. Customize my weapon. Start the event with a weapon, and depending on how you use it, it changes appearance.
Oh, that might be cool.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a new idea. Yeah,
I like that one, yeah.
Monthly winter weekends. Every month is dedicated to a specific kind of content, making it more rewarding for that period.
I said yeah on that one too.
No,
I don't want to feel like I'm losing out.
Right. And they need to stay special and unique to winter.
Yeah, and it's like dailyscape on a grand scale, like monthlyscape. No, I don't want to do that.
Yes. Opt-in safe PvP events like Bird and the Beast areas are mapped down that offer XP, but also opt-in PvP.
Yeah,
no, not for me.
I'm dealing with that.
Okay,
because you opt in. I mean, you know, and that remember that what was it? World Event 2? That was fun. Like, that was a lot of fun.
All right.
Being able to fight people anywhere.
Drop events gain some form of multiplier on gained resources and item drops.
Nah, I don't really.
I didn't know what to think of that one, actually. So I just say not really interested.
Dedication events get increasing XP multipliers if you dedicate yourself to one training method. No, 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 no. And no.
Rune span. That's why I said yes.
No.
And time-limited bosses, a boss that is in-game for a period, and the more you defeat it, the greater the rewards. No,
no, yeah, no.
Okay. Which of the following elements are essential for any seasonal holiday event, i.e. Christmas and Halloween? Access to older events and items and their rewards. Yes?
Not at all.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Combat encounters like Snowverload and Claudia? Not really, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't care.
Discontinued items that will never appear again?
Yes. Just to be at people screaming at each other.
No.
Okay. Episodic content, new additions added every week. No, I didn't like that.
No.
Hub area, so everyone is in one place?
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that. A new
again,
emote?
People screaming at each other.
A new music track?
I don't use them anyway.
Music is good to have. I like music. Play it.
They go through comp cape. No.
Quest-like story content?
No.
I like quest-like
story. I do want story content. I'm like totally in this part of story and quests. If it's a quest, I don't care if it's a holiday thing, it's a quest. I'm doing it.
Repeatable skilling that generates XP?
No.
No, I agree.
Don't care.
Seasonal cosmetic items?
Yeah, I like the cosmetics.
Yeah, they look good.
And social elements that get people to play together.
I we're supposed to say yes, right?
Yeah.
So, sure.
No.
Now for miscellaneous updates. How interested are you in these miscellaneous updates? Decluttering the game world.
Yes.
Interested?
I would say yes, because Lumbridge has become a heck of a place to be in.
Dedicated month of everyone making ninja fixes. Nope.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, 1 month, I think they could get a lot done.
I love ninja fixes because there's no built-up hype toward them usually. It's just basically you get a list of stuff that they decided to do, and I get to read them and see, ooh, does this affect me? Does this affect me? Yeah, it totally does. And so it becomes exciting.
Group finder system.
Go ahead.
Group finder system, a system that finds players to play with?
No.
I thought they already had that.
Yeah,
I
except know, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
All right. So a working version of it then, I guess. Yeah. Still not interested.
Improved chat functionality and custom chat channels?
No.
Yeah, no.
Don't we already have that?
What they need is adjustable font size.
Yep,
why don't
and that's
we have
the next
that?
One. Interface and redesign.
All caps typing.
Interface redesign. Yes.
And emotes.
See, I wanted to say yes, but after listening to you and Sirion, I just don't know if they can. We could end up with something worse. And then,
that's
know.
A very good point.
And the ability, and the ability to do video chat and voice on the microphone. I'm kidding.
Voice actually would be cool. Okay.
I don't know how I feel about that.
That Discord exists, and I think everybody already uses that, so forget it.
Make functional pets overrideable? Sure.
Yes. That's like legendaries, right?
I think so.
Yeah, we need that.
Mini game hub.
Mini game hub. Don't maybe. We already have that?
I know. I thought so. I thought that's what Thaler was for.
Yeah. More pets, including mini game, wilderness, clue scroll, and event rewards. No, thank you.
No.
We already got clue scroll pets. Whatever.
Pet park. No, thank you.
Yes. Yes. We have to have somewhere to put all of our... We got so many pets, and I love them all, but I can't have them all. I'm a hoarder. I'm a pet hoarder.
Two words, Pokemon.
I never played Pokemon, so see, this is how I'm fulfilling that.
Prestiging using XP to level minions, boss pets, or skill pets. You know this is here, and you know this is from the survey a number of years ago when we got behind that idea, so... Mm-hmm. Here we have it. I, of course, said yes, and this is what I wanted from Prestige when I put that up there. This is the way JX should have went about it initially. Described in one sentence, right here as to not piss anyone off.
Yep. And this is, I think, a lot more acceptable, too, because it's not – these are kind of like secondary to your account, not – you know what I mean? Like, I think this is a lot more acceptable, so I would say yes to those.
Yeah. Reducing and simplifying game currencies.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Remove Tuska from the surface, yes.
See, I don't care about that either. Because but you're going to have to replace that stuff for the Iron Man and stuff.
True.
And new accounts.
Okay. Unique clue scrolls can only be finished by one lucky individual. I have mixed feelings on that one. I'm not sure. World map optimization, simplification, and increased functionality.
Never use it.
Yeah. Okay. And world/server reduction. I don't think that's needed either.
No, I don't either.
Okay. And now just a little bit on the interface section here. Which interface setting do you use? Default or legacy mode? We all know that. When comparing the two interface styles currently in game, which style do you prefer for various things? Including overall layout, customization, visual appeal, ease to learn, clarity of game information, navigating subtabs, and discovering things to do. This is all very personal, and I feel like we've talked about that on the podcast before, so we don't need to go here with this before. Do you use keybinds to open interfaces?
No, but I just hope people don't screw me over with that.
Okay. I say occasionally.
I use keybinds all the time, but not to open my interfaces.
Okay. When looking for an interface that you don't often use, how easy do you think this is in RuneScape? Not easy.
Depends on how buried it is. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Is it on the ribbon, like easy to get to, or is it like under 10 different, you know, boxes, kind of like... Like that old, like Togglescape, when you hit escape and you're looking at all the miscellaneous like things you can turn on and off, or like your loot stuff, like those are not easy.
All right. That's fair.
But I don't
used to the latest update yet, so I marked a lot of them as I'm not too... All right, a lot of them as they're very difficult to figure out because, I'm still trying to figure out even just the latest RuneScape 3 updates to the UI.
And finally, when playing RuneScape, you're often required to change your loadout, inventory, worn equipment, etc. When moving in between different kinds of gameplay, how do you feel about this? Enjoy it? You want to see improvements to make it quicker, or you'd like to be able to swap loadouts easier during combat?
How does one enjoy swapping loadouts?
Right?
Yeah. And personally, I don't actually like to have to do that very often.
I agree. And now, which of the following statements about the user interface in RuneScape, and which do you agree with? There are too many interfaces I don't have room for. Check. I'd like interfaces to be combined where it makes sense. Check. I'm happy to load a different loadout when I change activity. Absolutely not. There are lots of buttons on screen that I rarely use. Check. It's hard to find the interface I need if they are not on screen. Check. It can be hard to learn how to use RuneScape's interfaces.
See, I want to check the things that you've checked, but I am so afraid that if we send them in this direction, it's going to screw us over.
Yeah. And the next two points are, it can be hard to learn how to use RuneScape's interfaces, and it can be hard to customize and move RuneScape's interfaces.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't know. I don't want to send them down this path because I don't want to open up. I don't want them to mess up what I have. I just don't want to lose what I have.
Yeah, fair. All right. And that's it for the survey this year.
And breathe.
And breathe.
We had a lot of a lot of meat to go through.
We definitely did. And we are approaching the 2 hour mark. So
two and a half hour actually.
Since we've been started. So we do have tech news and we do have a boatload of achievements. I am going to skip the in-depth discussion on tech news because I want to get through this list of achievements and get everyone out before you know we start losing our minds here with this episode. So a very, very quick rundown on tech news. The ESRB has spoken, and they are going to be adding notifications on their games with their ratings of when a game includes in-game purchases, specifically in this regard, microtransactions. So they say you may have noticed we've been a little quiet on the topic of in-game purchases and loot boxes, but we've been listening, and in fact, we've absorbed every tweet, email, Facebook post, and singing telegram sent our way, and we've been working to develop a sensible approach to let gamers and parents know when a game offers the option to purchase additional content. Starting soon, the ESRB will be assigning a brand new label to physical games, in-game purchases. This label, or as we call it, an interactive element, will appear on boxes for all games that offer the ability to purchase digital goods or premiums with real-world currency. So, in effect, micro trading here will be noted on the ESRB ratings going forward at some point in the future. I think we all agree here that this is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
sure.
If they're doing that, they should also add the ability to just simply add credit to it, where you spend an extra $30 when you buy the game itself, and then it gives you like $35 worth of credit for microtransactions on there, just kind of get you started.
See, the problem with that, though, is that's hard to do across jurisdiction.
So. Yeah, this is just a warning label, or at least just letting you know it's in there. Yeah. So that's good. And that way you can make a choice whether you want a game that has this or not.
The same.
Next up, Spotify is going public as well. With this, they lost $1.5 billion in 2017, according to the cost here. So this is another one of these companies that, you know, despite being ubiquitous for many people, is hemorrhaging money. So
why do they go public when they lose money? Wouldn't you go public when you're making money?
That's the way it used to work. That's the way it used to work.
So they're like, hey, we're failing. Hey, why don't you guys throw your money in here and so we can lose yours instead of ours?
I think they want to do this.
Pity money.
They want to do this as a way of raising money and, in effect, getting off of the venture capitalist funding and use that as a way to start turning a profit. And with this, they say that the company shares have traded privately as high as $132.50, which would effectively give the company a market valuation of $23 billion.
Well, what's the problem? How are they – they don't pay the artists squat. So how are they losing so much money?
Exactly. And you know, as we've talked about many times before, Snapchat, Twitter, these are companies that provide services. The business model back when these all things started was unknown what they were going to be. And here we are in 2018. These companies are making IPOs. But with that being said, Spotify did bring in $2.37 billion worth of revenue in 2015 and $3.6 billion in 2016 and $4.99 billion in 2017. So they are making money. It's just they are spending a lot to offer their service in terms of what they pay out. And as you said, Tanis, they don't pay the artists a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I don't get it. But okay. I mean, what is the CEO being overpaid and, you know, everything else, everyone else along? Probably. That's how it works, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just
and they
utterly,
renovate like every Wednesday. So.
It's just utterly baffling here. But, yeah, you know,
especially if you're bringing in that kind of money, like what business made $4 billion and you still are operating at a loss? Like, I mean, right? I can't even keep a checkbook, but geez, give me a shot at it. Put me in, coach. I'll do a better job than that. Damn.
Indeed.
I'm sure it gets more complicated with every zero that you add to it.
All right. Now, you guys might remember that we talked about at the tail end of last year about YouTube bringing in community moderators to police the website. Well, this week, it's been revealed that YouTube's new moderator mistakenly pulled right-wing content off of certain YouTube channels. YouTube's initial goal with the new content moderators was that they were brought in to spot fake, misleading, and extreme videos. And Bloomberg is calling this a stumbling in one of their first major tests, where they mistakenly removed some clips and channels in the midst of the nationwide debate going on in the United States about gun control currently. The Google division said in December that it would assign more than 10,000 people to moderate content after a year of scandals over fake and inappropriate content on YouTube. And as we all know, the horrible February 14th school shooting in Parkland, Florida, some YouTube moderators mistakenly removed some videos from right-wing pro-gun producers. And the questions being talked about here include accounts linked to Titus Frost, where he was banned from posting videos on YouTube. And he tweeted on Wednesday that a survivor of the shooting, David Hogg, was an actor. And, you know, this is the whole debate that's, I don't even know if you can call it a debate in some cases, the way this is being talked about in the United States. That's not what we're here to talk about, of course. But I think we can all agree that YouTube and the internet in general should be a platform for free speech.
But the right wing wants free speech when it's convenient. Because on the other hand, it's all about they want free enterprise and private industry gets to control everything. Right. Well, this is private industry and they're controlling it.
Yeah.
So
pick
your poison
and
stick
thing.
With it.
And that's the thing. There is becoming a blurring line on the internet with these companies. Twitter is grouped in with this, of course, that the companies are controlled by their shareholders. And as you say, Tanis, that is private industry. But at the same time, does that create a situation where free speech and the way the internet was initially designed to work can foster? I don't know. It seems like it can't in this case. And, you know, there needs to be an answer for dealing with this.
But they're getting a taste of what the left-leaning channels got during the adpocalypse, because those got hit left and right. So this is what happens when you put companies in charge of the internet. We tried to warn you. We tried to tell you that they would hit the right wing first, because a lot of those positions are antithetical to a large customer base. So that's why
and to the
neutrality.
And to the culture of where companies like YouTube and Twitter and whatnot are based in Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm. But everyone on that side thought, hey, private industry, perfect, man. Go for it. Go agitpie.
And you know, when it comes down to it, and this is why I said the whole debate on net neutrality was utterly stupid, is that you do not create a net neutrality bill in 2015 when it was created using the same damned legislation that you used to regulate phone lines, because that in effect means that every internet provider would need to apply for licenses, and that does nothing to stop cases like this where content is unfairly censored on the internet. Instead, what you need is a modern 2018 based internet bill of rights that governs the providers and governs the service providers who provide the actual internet and governs what the users can post and ensures their free speech.
Well, and that would have been a practical way, and maybe if our government was actually
competent
and ran by people in an actual democracy and not a corrupted bribe fest, we would have that. But that's not what we have, because you can buy them and you can buy them cheap.
And, you know, that's entirely the way it works in the United States. And, you know, it's just utterly unfortunate that it has to go that way. But hey, I mean, we knew this was coming. You said that, and I agree with you that when a corporation controls that, and when their user base, when the core of the user base is anti-right like that, that's going to happen. And there needs to be free speech on the internet, and that's what that Bill of Rights should have encouraged.
And I'm right with you. I mean, I'm a free speech like purist. I don't think anything should be
off limits. Me too.
And I think you know, this whole last month should show you just how incompetent and deadlocked our whole the whole U.S. government is. Nothing could be done. Nothing can be done at all to save any lives, except for when, you know, a company has to come out. Walmart has to come out and say, yeah, maybe we shouldn't be selling these kind of. You know what I'm saying, though? Yeah. Like, the government itself can't do anything. You have to rely on Walmart? Seriously? Like, what is.
The corporations are becoming the government.
Yeah. I guess that's fine because they're people too, right? I mean, whatever. Yeah.
Well, as we see here, that came to fruition with YouTube, everyone's worst concerns, and that's what happens when you turn people loose on moderating others.
Yep.
Well, we have just crested the two-hour mark in terms of actual recording time here at Update, so we're going to run through the Skill of the Month update. And as expected, we did have a huge jump with Double XP Weekend. X-Blades is now at 18.3 million XP gained and is retaking the lead. Parnassius is in second place with 14.6 million XP gained. And in third place is Sorensen, 57. With 12.4 million XP gained. And this is, of course, for the construction skill of the month.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's impressive.
I'd also like to take this time to just say that regarding the update Double XP Weekend hashtag contest we won last weekend, or we ran last weekend over Double XP Weekend, Elven Badass is the winner. So I will be contacting you shortly to deliver your bonds to you.
What a badass.
That's right. Nice. All right, so let's start with some achievements of the week.
Are we ready?
Yeah, let's strap in.
Okay, everyone take a breath. Okay, so starting on February 27th, we have, what we got here? Seabreeze. Oh, is that an S? Sorry. The cursor was there. Seabreeze with 99 fishing. Sorry about that. Seabreeze. We have Zach Masta with 99 attack. We have Sinatra with 99 defense. We have the pack with 99 construction. A Row of Snow with 99 cooking. Idiot-O-Matic with 200 mil fletching. Ooh, nice. We have Hala Bacon with 99 invention. We have the pack again with 99 agility. Darf Marf with 99 prayer. Shiro Shanna?
Yeah, I think so.
120 invention. Halal Bacon with 99 mining. Halal Bacon with 99 smithing. Slow down, Halal Bacon. I don't want to not be able to say your name anymore. Oh. Silver Wiz 9. That's right. Silver Wiz 9 with 99 fletching. And all of those were on – oh, I'm sorry. Those were on the 26th and 27th.
Woo! Yeah.
Pretty awesome. All righty. Yeah. On the February 25th, we have Shane 12088 with 99 runecrafting. Congratulations.
Ooh, nice, Shane.
I'm kidding. We got Daydreamer with 99 Herblore. We've got the Virewatch with 99 Hunter. I Like Slayer, 99 Invention, appropriately enough. XGN0 with 120 Defense. Shane 12088, there's that new begin. 99 Slayer. Deparnew. I probably mispronounced your name, but you got 120 ranged, and that's no small feat. Robe, either or. 120 ranged, also not a small feat. That's pretty impressive. It's Cavaliero, I'm guessing. 99 Fire Making. Duke Juker, 99 Farming. That's a J, not a P. Delenda Est, 99 Hunter. The Firewatch once again with 99 Thieving. Some stupid idiot named Alex43 with 120 Invention. No big deal. It's a stupid Woo-hoo! Skill. VSS, 99 Construction. Awesome skill. Awesome job, dude. Mad respects. Row of Snow with 99 Summoning. It's Cavaliero again with 99 Prayer. I'm pretty sure I got that name right. And if not, I think my version's better. Jordov, 99 Slayer, and VSS with 99 Agility. And this was all February 25th, 2018. So congrats to all you guys, and hopefully RuneScape is still fun for you guys after all that.
Indeed. Now moving on to the 24th, VSS with 99 Crafting, Delandra Est with 99 Agility, Blue Hubbard with 99 Crafting, Wolfotopia with 99 Prayer, UltraDog 177 with 99 Prayer as well, JamAndy52 with 120 Hunter, Truly a Weeb with 99 Summoning, Touchpad Pro with 120 Fletching, It's a Cavallario, as Alex said it, with 99 Summoning, The Pack with 99 Crafting, Cubon 008 with 99 Prayer, Delandra Est with 99 Crafting, It's Cavallario with 99 Herblore, and Sina Atten with 99 Prayer as well on the 24th.
All right. You actually missed a few. There's also Shade12088 with 99 Mining. Again, big noob. I Defend, 99 Crafting. Zilcam, 99 Defense. Delenda Est, 99 Thieving. Zilcam again with 99 Dungeoneering. Snowlight, 99 Smithing. Noxbow, 99 Runecrafting. Silver Was 9 with 99 Crafting. Blue Hubbard with 99 Fletching. Shane12088 again with 99 Cooking. These are in no particular order, by the way. It's Cavaliero once again with the most awesome skill ever, 99 Construction. 1, 2, 3, 4, Wear Cool with 99 Smithing in preparation for the upcoming updates. And that is the remainder of February 24th, 2018.
Now on the 23rd, we have 99 Divination with CQ Sethron. CQ Sethron with 99 Divination on the 23rd. Delandra EST with 99 Fletching. Takas Fugo with 99 Summoning. VSS with 99 Fletching, Schnetz with 99 Summoning, Blue Hubbard with 99 Cooking, Delandra Est again with 99 Crafting, JamAndy52 with 120 Herblore, 1, 2, 3, 4 Were Cool with 99 Summoning, Eric's with 99 Summoning as well, Twins Yays with 99 Summoning, The Virewatch with 99 Fletching, The Pack with 99 Hunter, Takas Fugo with 99 Herblore, Seabreeze24 with 99 Mining, Twin Gaze once again with 99 Prayer, Hello Bacon with 99 Summoning, I know you like that name, Tennis.
I do.
Cyanpreneur with 99 Prayer, I Defend with 99 Slayer, Jordov with 99 Attack, Jordov again with 99 Constitution, Wily with 99 Fletching, I Defend with 99 Summoning, and Mrovek with 99 Summoning as well on the 23rd.
Nice.
And there's your achievements for Double XP Weekend. We got through that mammoth list.
Whew. Congratulations to everybody. Great job. I'm glad to see your gains were plentiful. And Shane, you said there could be some big things happening. You're right.
That's right.
All the levels.
Uh-huh.
I made things happen. But before we talk about that, Alex, what is your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is actually one of my more favorite virtual reality games that I've been playing on the Steam Vive. It is called Rec Room. It's by a company called Against Gravity. Basically, what you do is you're a person sort of in a high school, and it's just basically a community-driven game where you get together with a bunch of people and you do just kind of stuff that you would do in a high school club of some kind. You could play paintball with each other. You can play charades on a nice big stage. You can go to the drama department and pretend to do a quest where you fight sort of like puppeteer-esque monsters and stuff. You can play laser tag. You can do all sorts of cool things. Play soccer, dodgeball, paddleball. Or you can just hang out in a lounge, shoot some hoops, and play ping pong or whatever.
So,
funnily enough, actually, it's got a much better ping pong mechanic than an actual professionally done ping pong game I found, which I thought was hilarious.
So available on Steam? Oculus
and available. PSVR. It is free to download. There are no microtransactions whatsoever. So if you guys are just getting into VR, this is a great game to start off with because it's got a little bit of everything. It's super simple and easy to get into.
So basically, if your system supports VR, you should be able to run this then.
Yep. Only if your system supports VR. You can't really use a controller for this.
Right. Of course. That makes
sense.
You need hand
control, so it's kind of limited in that regard. You cannot use an Xbox controller. It has to be your actual hands holding things in your hands, and then you actually use your hands to do stuff. Again, part of the experience.
And nice and free as well. I think the paintball mechanic would be fun to try.
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
All right.
I wish I had one of those vibes.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Totally.
Which need one? The room and the money.
Yeah, that's right. Which one's the one to get, Vive or Oculus?
I like Vive's controllers a little bit better, actually, because they're... Well, it's like holding remotes as opposed to holding these weird things that supposedly fit your hands properly. But again, I guess it's just a matter of preference. Once you get one, then you get into it. And I just started with the Vive, so that's why I'm into.
All right. Sounds good. So that is Rec Room. You can get that for your VR headset on Steam, Oculus, or PSVR.
Also, VR Chat. No comment.
Oh, yeah. VR Chat. That works, too. That's a good option.
It's also free, and it's also fun, and there's a reason for everything.
All right. So, Double XP Weekend. Tanis, what'd you get up to?
24-hour stream.
We chatted a bit for that, didn't we?
We did. Oh, and it was like, it worked out really well because it seemed like people were starting to, they really helped keep me up. And so, like, when I started dragging real bad, some of the RSBNB community was in my stream. They're like, come on over. And so I got to chat with everybody over there. And so that was cool. And in the Discord.
And it kind of turned into, RSBNB After Dark with some of the content.
It did.
After Dark.
Yeah. Which was funny because, like, I was trying to be as clean as possible, given it was a charity stream and all that, which at least it was really late, you know, it was after dark, but I made it till, so I stayed up for 24 hours, but I only made the streaming for 22 and a half, 23, somewhere between there.
Oh, well, that's fair, I think.
Really? I mean, I was close.
Super close.
And I raised a little bit of money, but I like to think of it as a whole, as a RuneScape community all together, Jagex, Special Effect, all of us together, just for the stream, the last I heard was 91,000. And so that doesn't take into account the auction or anything. So I don't know what the final
number is. I think they hit over 100,000 pounds with the auction and everything. I think I saw somewhere that did happen. They did hit the 100,000 mark.
So that was like... That was awesome. Great job to everybody. And I even had a representative from Special Effect in my chat. So that was kind of like the highlight for me. That and playing Pie in the Face with my daughter. That was,
oh,
that
nice.
Was a lot of
fun. So, yeah. Nice.
So, but yeah.
Excellent.
So what did you get up to, Shane?
Well, as you saw, I got 4.99s. I got 99 mining. That was the first one because I mined some flasks. Crystal flasks. Following that, I did 6,200 super prayer renewal potions for herb lore. And wow. That burnt me out for the day on that.
I bet.
After that, I just cooked some rocktails, got 99 cooking, had 1,000,000 XP, banged that off.
Nice.
Following that, I... did Slayer. I was 600k XP away from Slayer, so I think that was three Slayer tasks. That was Abyssals, Stark Beasts, and Black Demons that I did on Double XP Weekend, so that got me there.
Ooh, quickies.
Yeah. Nice. And after that, I just did Runecrafting to 99 at the Soul Altar, of course.
Man. Nice.
So.
499s. Look at you go.
Yep, and the only ones left that aren't 99 are Invention, Dungeoneering, and Smithing, and Construction.
Well, Smithing Construction can get a little pricey, but I think the one that's going to hurt is Dungeoneering.
Oh, that'll just be sinkholes whenever, but hey.
Okay, well, there you go. I guess it won't hurt so bad.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to get a little faster, just you know, drop me a message because I'll go with you. I still need that gold accumulator as much as I hate it. I need it.
All right. But that's me. And after that, just clue scrolls and whatnot. So a nice way to decompress after the Double XP Weekend. But the Double XP Weekend is great. I think at the peak, we had like 17 or 18 people in the RSBNB Friends chat for Double XP Weekend.
Wow.
And we also had, I think it was like a 3 or 4 hour chat session just playing RuneScape in the RSBNB Discord. And you can ask the people that was there, and it was like I was doing an individual podcast episode, except I was doing it just for the people who were there, because, you know, we would talk about various RS-related things, someone would bring something up, and we'd talk about it like we do on the show, so that was interesting. that was good. Anyways, how about you, Alex?
Well, WXP weekend, I really actually did not plan for it whatsoever. I just entered it deciding, I'm just going to go do some Dungeoneering. And I got level 115 Dungeoneering, which is good because I can now access the Motherlode Maw, which is, I guess, kind of hyped up because it's got those enhancers that let me get my completionist cape a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. And again, it's closer to 120 Dungeoneering, which is also needed for a said cape. I usually just spend all of my Protean stuff during WXP weekend, just to make it worth it. And so I just did that. I loaded on my Protean.
Oh, and yeah, I did that too. I got 98 construction with my Protean planks.
Sweet.
Oh, nice.
And then I went out and sung karaoke with some friends.
Karaoke. All right.
Because you can't really do that on RuneScape, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult to sing on RuneScape. I've tried. It's really, really hard.
Which is too bad, because I would love to be able to do some RuneScape karaoke. Yep. We need to get go to the dance floor in the Clan Citadel, maybe work a...
It's like the one and only place that you're allowed to have a mic, basically.
Yeah.
But then again, there's also Discord.
Get someone to drop a sick beat.
Yeah. wow.
Shane will drop a sick beat.
All right. Before anything's asked to be, that's it for this episode of RSB and the Update. Thank you for being here, Alex and Tanis. We'll be back next week to discuss whatever's in March. But before that, just a reminder that you can join us in game at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. And if you want to check the weekly bite, that happens every Monday. Quick little rundown of the week's patch note and update. You can find that at youtube.com/RSBNB. And with that being said, we'll see you next week for another episode of RSBNB Update.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys. Safe driving. Have a fun time home. Don't fall down and hit your face because it hurts.